Welcome to the Road of Faith, my friends. My name's Ken Fletcher, and I thank you for stopping by here. I'll tell you, if you've never been by before, well, we're glad you're here now. So we hope you'll stay with us throughout the seminar. We've got a lot of good things, a lot of wonderful verses coming up from the Word of God. So we want you to stay with us as we progress on with this tremendous series called Know Thyself. Now, our purpose for this whole series is so that you can understand who you are in Christ. And as our main scripture that has been every one of these seminars has been our main scripture throughout this whole series, the Know Thyself series, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that says, if anyone's in Christ, if any man, any woman's in Christ, he or she is a new creature, a new creation. Amen. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new because of Jesus. And you receive in Jesus and his life and his power and that transformation that takes place in you that he does that you can't do. The only thing that you can do is by faith in what he did for you. And it is through that faith in what he did, and he paid the complete price that make us right with God, the complete price. Yes, he did the complete price. And so when you put your faith in him, in Jesus, and what he did through his death and his burial and his resurrection from the dead, then you too are a recipient of this new life from God through Jesus, and we become one with him. We become part of him. Well, that's what this series is all about, is this unity, this blend that we have with him inside, this fusion that has taken place, this new creature that is ready for heaven instantly. I mean, you're instantly now as a new creature, as a new creation, you are able to come in front of a perfect God with no sense of shame or guilt or inferiority of in any way. He wants you to come. And so we can come with this sort of assurance, knowing that he made us right with him. He made us right with him. And it's through our faith in what he did that would make us right with him. It's our faith in the work of God through Christ, you see. It's in the through faith in that allows him to come in by his Spirit, and just everything is new. And the verse goes on to say that if any man, any woman, or any child is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new person, never existed before, a new creation. Old things have all passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Thank God, this work of God that took place in us. And now we're still trying to figure it all out. I mean, after the fact, like I say, I've been knowing the Lord for over 50 years, and now I'm starting to figure some things out, see some things I never saw before in all those years. And yet it was so in me the whole time. Well, we're coming up. We're learning. Maybe some of us a little slower than others. But we're getting it. God's getting it. Yes, he's getting through to us the good things that he's done in us. And we're getting a hold of it. We're getting our mind wrapped around the enormity of this thing that we have with him. It's huge. So when you stop and think about it, it just seems to get deeper and deeper and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more you think about it, the bigger it gets until your mind pretty much goes tilt. I mean, right now, you just keep considering how big and what we have with him. My, the what we have with him is so great and so amazing that we just get little pieces of it while we're here. But I'm getting more than I used to. And it's because of what I've been trying to share with you throughout this series. It's because of this place that I came into with him on March 9th, 2022. And I've related the parts of my testimony throughout that, throughout this series. And even in the previous series, I related a lot of what happened to me. which transformed my life so much that it caused me to see things different, caused me to understand things different, caused me to see through things more, to understand the truth of things more, see through the deception that's going on down here that we all are touched by, and they're always trying to influence us with something other than what the Lord said. Well, I want to get a hold of more of what he says. And I'm going with that because I have put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my life and my eternity and for my present and for my past and for it all, just the whole encompassing thing of my life, talking about all my loved ones, talking about all my finances, talking about every area of my life is all his now, you see. Well, I think somehow before I just had a wrong concept about, some things in my Christian life. And I just sort of, I guess you could say I compartmentalized some things that I didn't even realize I hadn't given it to him. I didn't understand all of what that meant to give him all, everything in my life. But March 9th, I got it done. I got it done somehow. By his grace, I was able to come into this place for me. And it was after that that he began to show me some of these things that caused me to be able to have this kind of a instant thought-to-thought, mind-to-mind understanding from him. He's right in everywhere in here now. I mean, where before I was hearing him kind of from my center of my being, you know, it would sort of come up, you know, filter up into my understanding, and I'd hear him. I was thankful for that. And I've been led by, and we were led through, five states, of moves and in his will. And, we just a whole lot of wonderful things happened because he led us, through that. But I wasn't hearing him like I am now. I wasn't hearing him so clearly, so strong, and so precise as I am now, so clear. Hearing his thoughts, what he's saying to me and my thoughts. And I'm getting direction, and I'm getting wisdom, and I'm everything concerned in timing. Oh, man, that's a big one. That's a big deal. Getting his timing, understanding his timing. In his will for our lives. Amen. Amen. Because it's not, he's got a lot of wonderful things, but it just didn't time to manifest yet in you. That's a good thing. Get a hold of some wisdom on timing of the Lord, because then patience must enter into your faith. You heard what he said, you know it's coming, or you know what he's wanting you to do or whatever, but it just isn't time yet. And things aren't to the place where he is directing you to move in that direction. It may not be time yet, even though you can look around and say, well, it's not time to do this yet. But see, that's where patience enters in. Do you stop believing? No, you do not stop believing. You don't let go of that what he told you ever. But there's a timing in things, and there's wisdom that comes with that. As we're walking in his timing. Praise God. Amen. Well, last week we were over here in James chapter 4. We're going to try to progress on today. You know, the Holy Spirit just has his way here. And I don't want to do things my way. I mean, if I've been doing things my way, I'd have done been through all this, these scriptures that I'm bringing out today. I've already went through them. We'd already been, if I was doing things my way. But then who knows what would have been missed that maybe you needed if I did things my way, what I think should happen here. And I could give you, two, 3 points and a close, couldn't I? I could give you just a sermon. I could give you point A, B, and C. But he's not doing things. Listen, I can do things that way. I've done in the past that way. I know how to do them. I've been taught in Bible school to do certain things like that. And people should be. A lot of people, that's what they go by when they speak and so forth. But he's got me doing things this way. And it's different. It's different, and a lot of people maybe don't understand it. Maybe they heard me say some things today or last seminar that they heard me say a time or two before. But I want you to know every time he brings it out, there's a reason. And there's something different around it that makes it different. So you don't want to throw it away. You want to grab hold of it, whatever it is in it, because he knows what's coming. He knows where you're at in your thinking. He knows where you're at in your life. And he knows what you need. So maybe you just, we're just going to be a blessing, and we're just going to go forth and be led by the Spirit of God. And he's going to show us the way he wants us to go on these things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And that's what we want for you, because I don't know what you need within myself except for him showing me, him leading me, and prompting me to say certain things at certain time. Amen. And it's all for you. It's all for you. Glory to God. Amen. We was over here in James chapter 4, and let's start here in, of course, in verse number 4 there. In James chapter 4 in verse 6, he says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Of course, now we saw that over in 1 Peter as well, where he said the same thing pretty much, you know, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on to tell us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Yes, he will, because we got the power of God. And ain't no demon can stand up against that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Amen. Come in front of the Lord with that honor. Honor him. Honor him, and take it serious. I mean, be sincere, being honest as you can be, just as open and as transparent as you know how to be. That's the way to approach God. Amen. Amen. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. We're talking about a heart condition here, a heart condition before the Master. Amen. You've got a lot to do with it now. How far you get with God has a lot to do with you. I mean, how you approach him, how you come, approach him properly. Amen. Now in, 1 Peter 5, it says, in verse 5 here, it says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. What's it talking about? And be clothed with humility. It's talking about having a spirit of humility with others as well as God. Amen. And it's precious. It's a precious thing to have. Amen. Because once again, there in 1 Peter chapter 5 says same thing as James did. Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, verse 6 says, in 1 Peter chapter 5 says, humble yourselves. Therefore, underneath the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. And that's the way to do it. Now, you want to be exalted? Well, you don't want to be puffing yourself up and self-exalting. No, that's not the idea. The idea to get to really get it right with God is to humble yourself before him, and then he exalts you in due time, in the right manner, in the right way, and then it's right. Because when he exalts you, then it's proper, it's right. And it will fit with you. It will fit with you. And it'll be lovely in you when he exalts you. It won't be ugly. It'll be lovely what he does. Amen. That he may exalt you. That's what he wants to do. Yes, he does. He wants to exalt you. He wants to lift you up out of any of that stuff, and that other wrong thinking you've been involved in, all kinds of things. He wants to lift you up. Yes, he will. And he'll exalt you. When your heart condition is right, he'll bring you up in his own time and his own way. Praise God. And it's not that we're up there to just to get exalted, you know? I mean, we leave all that wisdom up to him when we come up there with him. And We leave all of that sort of thing in his hands, and in his timing, and in his wisdom, and the things that we need to understand that is in his care. But we need to position ourselves right in order for him to be able to exalt us. You see that? I hope you see the importance of that. Because he can't exalt, he's not going to exalt pride now. Or he's not going to exalt selfishness apart from his will for you, which is the best, by the way. He's not going to exalt you into that. No, he won't. Because your heart's not right. And he can't. He can't. So if you get exalted in that place, let's say, for instance, the place of pride, selfishness, and let's say you was exalted, well, you're going to be warped now. You're going to be warped and not seeing things right. You're not going to be seeing things right. You're not going to be understanding yourself right because there's a blindness in you. And that blindness to him is huge. When he sees that blindness, well, then, you know, he knows there's no use in, he's going to try to work with you, try to help you, try to bring you into that place, you know, to where you can see where you're missing it, you know, where you're off in some way. And he will. Yes, that's the way he'll do it. But it costs you in time, you see. Perhaps, let's say if you went 5 years in a level of deception there about yourself and had some pride working and selfishness, and you were apart from it. Well, there's 5 years, man. No matter how you look at it, there's 5 years that he's not going to be able to use you and flow through you and do things for you that he wants to do. He may be doing things in a partial sense for you. A partial sense that he's only much as he can do without it hurting you, you know. And so therefore you got to get yourself. Well, it don't take no 5 years to get yourself lined up and lose all that time when you could be productive in the kingdom and help people in a way that, that he wants to do through you. Don't waste your time. Oh my goodness. I regret the years that I have wasted and not come into, allow him to use me in the full way he wanted to through those periods of time in my life. And, man, I've got some spots like that, man, where it just drops out, where he's not able to use me very much. I just basically disqualify myself, you see, through my choices. And so time. Kept rolling on, you know, even though I wasn't in his best, I wasn't in his complete will, time rolled on. And when I finally got some sense, and thank God he preserved me throughout all the goofy stuff, you know what I mean? He preserved me and kept me. But when I finally got some sense, you know, those times, and then I was able to kind of come back in. But even then, man, I was still... there was things that I was holding out on him and I didn't even realize it, until really I came into understanding this March 9th, 2022 experience with him. And, man, that changed everything, in my perception, of things. And I'm still growing in it. I mean, I haven't arrived by any means. But I have made some progress that I believe that I can really help you. To understand how to get to this place with him, how to get to that thought-to-thought, mind-to-mind area with him to where it's just a blend. I mean, and, you know, there's times when I'll get busy in the natural and I won't think about the Lord as much. And I'll go along and then I'll realize, man, I hadn't talked to him for a little bit. You know what I mean? And I hadn't really seen how, and in a little bit I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I hope I can still talk to him like I did before. I know that sounds silly, but it's become so precious to me to have him so close that I think to myself, if I don't hear him for a little while or I get busy in the natural and doing something in the natural and I don't hear him like I, you know, as much during that point in time of my life or whatever, and I might have an hour or two slip by and I didn't talk to him. And then I think to myself, oh, dear Lord, I hope I can hear him like I did before, you know, and boom, nothing's changed. And And he's always right there, so instant, so wonderful, and never has left, never has changed, and things have not changed between us. I don't have to be concerned or worry or anything. If I hadn't talked to him for an hour or two, I don't have to be concerned or worried that it's going to be different somehow or another when I get back in touch with him in my thoughts inside. No, it's never different. It's always the same, and it's always right there. And he's always just as wonderful and just as clear as he was the few hours before, you know, whatever. But I want to get into the place where there's more. It's more of that, more and more and more. I want to hear him clearly and loud, and for his will to take place in my life, because that's really all I want now is his will. And I'm just seeing, man, that people maybe don't realize what they're missing. I think a lot of Christians just don't understand what they really miss and what they really have with him. And some of the things that they're regarding as real important right now that they've got the hold of, and they think it's real important in their life. But in actuality, if it's a part in any way from what he's wanting, you see, well, then you're missing out. You're just missing out on things. It's just the way it is. Hey, man, well, we don't want you to miss out on nothing. No, we want you to get the whole deal. Get the full meal deal that the Lord paid for us. And you don't have to wait until your body dies and go to heaven to have that with the Lord. You have it right now. I mean, there's nothing different in your spirit now that will be then. Nothing. You've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the Lord in there, and you've got all his power, and the new creation that you are is all there right now, today. The moment you brought Jesus in is still there, just like it was then. I mean, you're ready for heaven the second you brought him in. I mean, just like that, you're heaven ready, just like that. He made you that way. He made us that way, praise his name. So, yeah, so you are the same, I mean, as far as consistency, who you are, right standing with God. You have this new created spirit that's like him. And so you're right with him, and you can go right in front of the Father at any time of the day or not, right there, just boom, anytime. I don't care if you missed it or not. You still go right to the Father. Yes, you can, and you can talk to him about it. You come to him with the right heart, of course, as we've been talking about in these last seminars recently, coming to him with the right heart, and he will hear you, and he can help you, and will help you. Yes, he will. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we was here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we said here that God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Just a truth. It's just a Bible truth. Amen. Just a fact with God. Amen. Now notice here in verse 6 says, humble yourselves before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's what he wants to do. He wants to exalt you in due time. He wants to bring you up. No matter what's happening in your life, that's what he wants to do. He wants to exalt you. He wants to bring you up. Well, notice here, we there's something we got to do with that happening. If that's going to happen in us, we need to be humbling ourselves before him. Amen. And living in a humble manner, you see what I mean? Not necessarily as far as material wealth is concerned. I'm talking about a heart condition, you know, understanding the material wealth, understanding what it's all about, understanding it's temporary. All these things, I mean, we have to have a right, clear picture of ourselves. Through him, this is how we learn how to see ourselves, through him. That's how. That's what this series is about, is learning to see ourselves the way we really are. The way we see ourselves is through him, through his understanding, through his revelation. Then we can see. Then we can understand who we are and what we have because of this blend that we have with Jesus. Amen. Verse 7 goes on to say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, boy, we could just, anything that's bothering us, anything that's, we can cast our care upon the Lord and give it to him. And we could just not worry about it at all anymore because he's got it. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, he's watching out over you. He's caring for you, and you casting all the care that's been loaded on you, maybe by stuff that's happening out here in the world, family problems or physical problems or anything like that, cast them over onto him. Amen. For he cares for us. He cares for you. Yes, he does. And he's not going to. And I tell you, you see his grace in operation this way. You see, you see his grace begin to unfold in your life. And, because you're coming to him in a proper manner, in a proper heart. My goodness. And so he's getting involved with you. He'll get involved with you. Yes, he will. Amen. Now I want to get into some wonderful, these Proverbs, my goodness, their Proverbs has got some wonderful things that bring some light to us in this regard, because, the humility factor is, like I said, it's kind of like the doorway. You got to get in, you got to get yourself in the door and approach him properly. So, we see here in Proverbs a lot of these wonderful scriptures that bring this out to light, more vividly in our understanding. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. I'm just going to kind of go through these here. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Now, here we see a connection between the humility and fear of the Lord. Comes what? Riches and honor and life. Amen. It will become because of this right heart attitude, and God gets with you, and man, he's with you. And by humility and the fear of the Lord, you with him, and he's with you. And it says here that are riches and honor and life. Amen. Yes, they do. And here in Proverbs chapter 15, here's another good one that we need to look at. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Isn't that a good one? Amen. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." If you come in there don't have a teachable spirit, many people do. They think they know. For instance, I might bring a verse out here and some people say, "Oh, no, I know that one. I've quoted that one. I know that one." Da, 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 go on. But they may be missing the good things that the Lord is trying to get through them today. You see? You have to have the right heart attitude, that you're teachable. Amen. You're humble. You're teachable. You're pliable to the Holy Spirit in order to get some light to you that maybe you didn't have before. Well, you're going to have a right heart to see, a right heart to be instructed, a right heart to be taught. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So if you want to be honored, if we're going to be honored, we must be humble people. Amen. We're humble before the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Amen. So humility brings you into honor. Yes, it does. Glory to God. Isn't that a beautiful? It's so wise, all these things that's over here in Proverbs concerning humility, that wisdom that's with it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12 goes on to say, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Of course, that last part is it was said there in Proverbs 15, same thing. But notice here in Proverbs 18, it says, "Before destruction." Before destruction comes, the heart of man is haughty or prideful, you could say. Before, now, of course, we've seen other scriptures, but, you know, you've heard people say, well, before pride comes before the fall. Well, that's basically what he's saying here, is that pride will cause a destruction in your life. It'll cause bad things to come upon you. Right here it says here, before destruction. Oh, man. If we knew that, we need to understand that before destruction can come, we've got a heart attitude that's the problem of it all. Can you see that? It's a heart attitude that's a problem of it all. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty or prideful, and he's seeing wrong, and he's understanding himself wrong, and he's not wise. Nope. And before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life." I think I read that one already, didn't I? I had that twice on for some reason. It's a good one, though. "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Amen. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 19, it says, "Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Mm. Well, that's the better place to be. is to be of the humble spirit along with other humble people. Amen. Yeah, that's who you want to hang around. You don't want to be around a bunch of pride folk and that old nasty false garbage about the P word get all off on. No, you don't want to take any of that on. No, no, you don't. No, you want to understand from other humble people. Glory to God. I tell you what, if you get around some other humble people and see how they live and how they do things and how they approach things with the Lord and with other people, and you can learn some things. You can learn some things just by watching them and how they conduct their life, and you can see the wisdom that's flowing. Amen. So it's good to be around other humble folks that are on the right track and understand things with the Lord, and to hang with them and to let some of that good stuff get off on you too. Amen. And hopefully some of that good stuff that's on you get on them. Amen. But look here. It's better to be a humble spirit with the lowly. Yes, it is. It's wise to do that than to divide the spoil with the proud. Well, he said, well, the proud, well, he go out here and he accumulates a bunch of money to himself, or accumulates a bunch of power, influence, that raises them up or whatever. And, boy, they're looking, they're sitting there and they're hanging around with their buds or whatever. And they say, well, now you going to get your part. I'm going to get my part. And we'll, you know, and, so you dividing up. See, this is what we got in by pride and selfishness. It ain't gonna pay off now. You think it does. It initially looks like you're getting over on things. I tell you, people are suing folks too quick now. Boy, I don't know why I'm getting off on this. Maybe it's for you. But people are suing folks too quick now. You better find out what the Lord says about them suits, about suing folks. Because you want your piece of the spoil, or you want this, or you want that. You got to be careful. You better hear from the Lord about it, because it may not turn out like you want to. It may not turn out in a positive way in your life. Somebody said, well, I want a big settlement. I got $30,000. I got $50,000 out of this accident, or whatever, this settlement. Well, I had a guy hit me in the back one time. I had a commercial truck. And there was a line of cars that we were sitting at the stoplight. I mean, this has been many years ago. And I was just sitting at the stoplight, just sitting there, you know, waiting in a line of cars there. And a truck came up from the highway, was behind us, but he couldn't get himself slowed down. And his air brakes went out on his truck. Well, he plowed into the back of them cars. And I think I was maybe the third or fourth car in line. And boy, boom, boom, boom. So my car got hit in the back, and then my car hit the car in front of me, and so forth down the line it went. But you know what? I mean, I had a little soreness in my neck and so forth, and my car was messed up, but the insurance people met with me, and And I said, just fix my car, put it back the way it was, you know, and I'm fine, you know. But I didn't want nothing from them. I just basically said, well, just fix my car and make it right, you know. And I'm not trying to hold myself up on a pedestal, say, well, this is what I did, and you should do this too. Well, no, I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to think of it in regard to results. You know, do you really want to sue that person? Do you really want to take them for that money just because you can? Do you want to, you really, you see, because I had an opportunity to take that commercial company, a commercial truck company, to the cleaners. I could have made a lot of money on that by, you know, saying I was injured, which I was a little bit, but in a few days I had some soreness in my neck, but in a few days I was fine, you know. And it was just normal. I wasn't going to tell them that has some kind of back injury or some other, you know, people do that, go through all that trouble, go through the doctors and the hospitals in order to establish a lawsuit, in order to establish the fact that company or the insurance company owed them money for what happened there. Well, I just was thankful to the Lord that I wasn't messed up. I was too thankful to sue them people. I guess you could say, because I could have been messed up real bad. I had a little 2-seater sports car, and man, I could have been messed up real easy, you know, and hurt. And then that would have been another kind of a situation, you see, where I have a permanent situation or a permanent injury. But I didn't. I mean, I was fine within a few days. The soreness had left me, and I wasn't going to try to take them people to the cleaners. Listen, why did I do that? Because I was taught right by my parents. That's why. Now, like I say, if I was really hurting, if I was really was injured, then it should be their responsibility to get fix me with the medical or whatever needed to happen there, you know. But I wasn't, and I wasn't going to put on like I was, and I was just going to stay thankful. And that's the way I looked at it. I am so thankful that I came out of that accident. Could have been really, really bad. I could have been really messed up. I could have, you know, lost my life there or anything. But I was too thankful to sue them folks, you know. And I know there's probably some of those people in those cars on that line that got hit. Probably they did. Maybe they did take that trucking company to the cleaners. I don't know that insurance company. You know, I don't know. I only know the way I saw it. And listen, I believe so many years later, this is way back there, 30, 40 years ago. And I thought in all these years, man, I have been blessed. I've been blessed. I've never regretted not suing them folks, and never regretted it a bit, because I was just too thankful. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you preserved my life in the middle of all that. And they fixed my car and we were good. We were good. But you know what? They were feeling guilty about me. I wasn't trying to get nothing out of them. I just said, you just fix my car and we're good. You know, we're good. Because then you fixed whatever damage has been done and we're good. But they didn't want to leave it like that. No, they wanted to make, they said, well, we just want to give you something. And I'm trying to remember how much it was now. It was several thousand dollars. It wasn't a great big amount, maybe $3,000 or $4,000 or something. I don't know. But they just wanted me to have it. And they just wrote me a check. Here, we just want you to have it. Here, just take this. And I wasn't even thinking along those lines, right? I just wanted to fix my car. Well, here's the deal here. Now, I've just been so blessed. And did I make the wrong decision there? Somebody said, well, yeah, you messed up there. You had an opportunity to make some real money there. Well, I did. I had an opportunity. I knew I did. I knew I had an opportunity to take them to the cleaners, you know, and take them for a lot more money than I could have. I could have successfully pulled it off. But what would it have cost me? There we go. What would it have cost me, really? When everything was said and done, you know what I'm saying? Down the road somewhere, did I open the door to the enemy somehow? by doing that, by taking advantage? Did I do something that allowed him to have access into my life, the destroyer to come in and to hurt me in another way, or maybe in the same way, maybe another accident? Well, see, I just don't know about any of that because I didn't go that way. By God's grace, I was able to see through it and not go that way, not get greedy, not get selfish and prideful about the whole thing, trying to take them. But see, you need to, sometimes you just don't, you shouldn't be suing folks. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't sue folks. Now, don't get me wrong. Somebody say, well, now Ken said, don't sue nobody. Da, 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 da. And I didn't say that. All right. I don't know your situation. I couldn't predict what you should be doing before the Lord. That is something you got to go to the Lord for yourself about, whether you should do something like that, whether you should sue somebody or you should go that way, take legal action or whatever. I don't know. That's between you and him. All I'm saying is just don't be too quick to do that. Don't be too quick to do that. Pull back and find out. Get the wisdom of the Lord on it. Find out what he's saying about it, because you could be through not even realizing that your greed's working, not even realize that your pride is working in you, not even see it, not even understand it, you see. And yet it's happening. And that's what you're following after. That's why you're doing what you're doing. Well, it's going to take you to a destination. It's going to take you to a destination. Are you sure you want to go there? That's the thing. Are you sure you want to go there? If you see everything about it, does that mean that you, maybe, because if there's pride, you're not seeing everything about it. If there's greed, you're not seeing everything about it. But the Lord does. And that's why you go to him for these things. Even when you feel like you ought to sue, maybe shouldn't. Because before him, if he tells you not to, don't. I'm just going to tell you too flat. If he tells you not to, don't. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. You cast that thought out, and he said no. So he's got a reason why he says no. All right? Because he's got a better thing in mind for you than that, necessarily. You see what I'm saying? I hope you do. I hope you see the wisdom in that. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. A man's pride. No, here's better it is to be humble of the spirit of the lowly than better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Because you can get yourself in a real mess following after pride. Amen. Praise God. And Proverbs chapter 29 says, and verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor. That's what we want. God will honor you. There's a scripture that says, those who honor me will I honor. Amen. So if you're honoring God in what you're doing, then he's going to honor you. Praise God. My goodness sakes, I'm almost out of time, can't I tell you? I don't know where this one went either, man, but I'm so thankful that you decided to come along with us today. And I hope that you stayed with us throughout the whole seminar. And my goodness, we have covered a lot of things. And so perhaps you need to go back. I think if you talk to anybody, they'd realize you've got to get these scriptures and foundational scriptures and foundational truths in you that we've covered already. From part one right on through here to part number 29 today. And my goodness, so we've covered a lot of things in the weeks prior to this. So I hope that you'll make a veil. They're all available there for you. And I hope that you'll go back and study with us, find out how in the world is it possible for you and I to stand in front of a perfect God with no condemnation, no guilt, no sense of inferiority. It's a work of God. Praise God. Well, until next week, I'm going to have to get off here. So I love you, and I'll see you next week.